So the idea of the growth mindset is that anybody can learn anything if they're willing to put the time and understand that they're a fresh slate for new knowledge.
Welcome to the Health Science Coach Podcast. My name is Drew Garner, and I'm a health science and physical education teacher. This is a podcast to help students, parents, and recent graduates learn about pathways into healthcare and sports medicine careers. These industry professionals lay out how their experiences have helped them get to where they are now. If you enjoy this content, please subscribe to the channel or download through your podcast player. Thanks again for spending some time with us today. Now let's dig in. Today, I get the pleasure of meeting with Miguel Jones. He gets the pleasure of helping healthcare organizations increase engagement with the power of their patient stories and technology. Miguel, welcome to the podcast. How are we doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So you run a company called Moment, and can you give us a little detail about what Moment does for the healthcare industry?
Yeah, so Moment is all about capturing powerful moments from a healthcare organization's patient population. And what we noticed after being in the healthcare space for the last 8 years is that it's really hard to get patients to really care about what the healthcare organization is offering them when it comes to preventive services, like, for example, the CDC's National Diabetes Prevention Program. Everybody in healthcare knows that that program works. They know it produces great outcomes for the person who goes through it, helps them prevent being diagnosed with diabetes if they have prediabetes, and it's financially valuable for the whole system. I believe the numbers are anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000 saved per patient who participates. Mm-hmm. The problem is healthcare is really, really bad at getting the actual people with prediabetes to participate. And so we wanted to figure out how can we do that better. And if you're familiar with influencers in today's world, which I don't know who isn't, it's the same concept. People want to learn and buy from people like them. It's no different with patients. And so what we discovered is that if you want to inspire somebody with diabetes to do a program that's going to improve their health, the best way to do that is with somebody else who has diabetes, telling them all about it and explaining it and connecting with them and empathizing with them. So what we've done is we've created a technology to help healthcare organizations do just that. So a simple way to think about it is we're helping these healthcare organizations create patient influencers that can inspire other patients to take the actions that are beneficial to their health.
Right. Absolutely. I think that's really important to be able to, you know, have that influence come from somebody like them, like you mentioned. So as the founder and developer of Moment, what are some of your like daily duties or week in the life of an healthcare entrepreneur?
Yeah. So today it's pretty much all sales. So I'm pretty much either cold calling or going to a clinic and booking a lunch or trying to drop off some materials, but that's because our product is here now. The last year it's been spent really studying product development. So I still feel like I'm a student back in my college days studying for a test, but I'll read a bunch of books around product development. I'll talk to a bunch of what are known as decision makers in the healthcare space. So whether that's a director of marketing, a VP of population health, a community health worker, I'll sit down and talk to them and learn about their experiences. And that is really how technology is made. When I started out as an entrepreneur, I thought that all technology was just an innovation, kind of like the Steve Jobs syndrome, where you think you just create something out of thin air like he did with the iPhone. But the reality is most great technologies are just built upon people's actual day-to-day lives and what they do and what barriers they run into. And so this last year, I've spent a ton of time just diving into people's work days, seeing what they're up to, what they're struggling with, how to make their lives easier. And that's how we came to the process of Moment or the product Moment, because we talked to a whole bunch of marketing directors and one of their big tasks was creating content, building the healthcare organization's brand, getting new patients, getting new donors. And they knew that patient stories were a key piece of the puzzle, but they didn't have a way to be able to capture those stories and put them to use. And so I spent a lot of time talking to customers. I spent a lot of time trying to get new customers. I spend a lot of time worrying about how the heck we're going to pull this off. And then, of course, making sure that all my team's on the same page, painting a vision of the future that we can all work towards. and complete the mission. But it's the great thing about entrepreneurship is every week is different. There's always something both good and bad that's happening. And so it's exciting and keeps you at the edge of your seat. Depending on the time of year or where we are with a product release really determines what's going on that week.
Yeah, absolutely. So you studied exercise science at Indiana State University, where you also played football and had a scholarship there. Let's talk a little bit about that program and the kind of your transition into entrepreneurship and healthcare. So let's start off first with that exercise science and kind of what you were wanting to do with that program.
Yeah, definitely. So I was inspired to get into exercise science because I come from a long family history of people with chronic conditions. My dad has type 2 diabetes. Both grandmothers have and had it. One of them is still here and manages it well. The other did not manage it well. And she spent her last years of life living with us when I was in middle school. Not really living. She was bedridden and attached to a bunch of tubes. And it was just painful to see and experience. And I think that had a major impact on me wanting to participate in healthcare in any way possible. Yeah. I see an exercise science as a path to do that. And so when I started in the exercise science program, my original thinking was I would be some sort of health coach, whether it was exercise or nutrition or for mental health. I didn't know what I wanted to do fully, but I knew I wanted to participate in some way that could make an impact on people's lives. And Indiana State actually had an amazing exercise science program. I'm actually a little bit jealous of the new students going there because they got a brand new multi-million-dollar facility. It always seems to happen that way.
Right.
After you graduate, they build the nice fancy stuff, but the professors there were awesome. They thought differently about things. They challenged us in different ways. The classes were great. My fellow students were really sharp and I got to work with some great people there. So I really enjoyed the experience and was able to explore many different avenues in the health space that I didn't even know existed beforehand.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. So one of the classes you took there was a chronic disease prevention course. And that kind of really inspired you to look at some further deep dive into the healthcare. Let's talk a little bit about how you kind of transitioned that course into what you wanted to do post-college.
Yeah, definitely. So first of all, shout out to Dr. Matthew Feeback, who was my professor there. He showed us a documentary one day. And actually, before I mentioned the documentary, I didn't even know that chronic disease could be prevented when I took this class. I remember clearly, I'm an athlete. My brothers are athletes. My friends have always been athletes. And we just wanted to train hard. And we thought that that's where you got all your results. I remember texting them one day and saying, did you guys know that diet is 70% of the process? And everybody was like, what? No way. You're crazy. And so it was these things that we just didn't even understand at the time. And when they started talking about preventing heart disease, preventing diabetes, reversing heart disease, reversing diabetes, it was just mind blowing to me. So one day we seen a documentary in the class called Escape Fire, and it was all about the U.S. healthcare system. It was really highlighting one main doctor, Dr. Dean Ornish, who was the first ever person to get his prevention program covered by Medicare and Medicaid, which is crazy. It took him like 20 years to get approval. So shout out to him for his persistence, but he paved the way for all the stuff we see today where you can get coaching, health coaching covered by insurance. And so that really inspired me. Dr. Dean Ornish was very inspiring, but also how they were interviewing physicians, patients, pharma reps, the whole gamut.
Right.
Everybody was pretty much calling out for help. They were pretty much saying, healthcare is in trouble right now. We need some innovation. We need entrepreneurs to step up to create new solutions to help us find our way out of this. And the only way that the healthcare system can be sustainable is if we start taking care of people and not just treating symptoms and giving them more medications and watching them slowly get worse. So immediately after that documentary and that day of class, I remember calling up some of my best friends and being like, hey, we've got to do something in healthcare. We've got to create a startup. I don't know what it is, but let's do it. And luckily I had some good friends who knew me who just thought like, whatever it is, man, we're in. Let's start working on some stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's pretty cool. So then with that, when you graduate college and you started a company down there in Wichita, let's talk about that company and how it kind of transitioned into now Moment and what you have going on.
Yeah, definitely. So we started laying the groundwork for King Fit while I was still in college. And that's one thing that I just highly recommend. If you're going to be, if you're wanting to create your own pathway, take advantage of those college years. I know it's nice and fun to party and do things and all of that, but you can do that as well while still dedicating some of your hours to something that's going to build your life up. So my junior year, senior year, I was spending a lot of my free time just diving into entrepreneurship and business building and reading a whole bunch of books around that. So even though my degree was in exercise science, I like to say that I also got a degree in business just from YouTube and books while I was there at the same time. And it was just a simple switch of some of my daily habits. I switched out playing Madden every day, watching ESPN every day with watching YouTube and reading business books. And that made a world of difference. But anyway, first company was called King Fit. At King Fit, we were really focused on diabetes. Again, because of my family history, we built two mobile apps. One of them was all around diabetes education. So I understand you had a dietitian on here recently. Yeah. Normally in the healthcare system, a dietitian or a certified diabetes educator will coach somebody newly diagnosed with diabetes, usually somebody with type 1 because it's a lot more serious early on. Sometimes somebody with type 2, I think about 5% of people with type 2 get to see a diabetes educator or dietitian. They'll coach them on how to manage diabetes. So how do you take your medications? When do you need to see the doctor? What do your numbers mean? All of that good stuff. We noticed that most people weren't getting that service or didn't have access to a dietitian or diabetes educator. And so what we did was we partnered with some of the nation's best authors for organizations like the American Diabetes Association. And we turned their wealth of knowledge into bite-sized videos and delivered those via mobile app. As soon as started doing that, we started getting a couple thousand users, which was awesome. Learned a whole bunch about technology development, which is a whole nother story because we took some butt kickings in that process when we just didn't know what the heck we were doing. But as soon as we put that app out, we started attracting other diabetes companies. So they would come to us and say, we love the app. Can we have a version that's branded in our colors with our logo that's under our name? So we created what's known as a white label version and started licensing that out. We built a dashboard on the back end so that these companies could see their engagement data and who was using it and who wasn't and that type of thing. And that started out extremely well because I was able to close some new deals, and these deals were built in a way that was the gold mine for a digital health startup like ours. And the gold mine for a digital health startup like ours is, at the time, if you have a mobile app, what's known as per member per month. And that pretty much means for every person who signs up, you get a certain amount of money every single month, as long as they're signed up for it.
Right.
And every digital health startup really is after something like that. And I would get all excited. I'd close a new customer and we'd sit back and we'd be like, all right, here come all the patients. And then the patients would never come. And so I've had to dive deeper to figure out what the heck is going on here. And that led me to what I now know as the engagement problem. And so the engagement problem, just like I mentioned earlier with my elevator pitch about Moment, pretty much says healthcare organizations are very bad at engaging their patient populations in things that are going to improve their health. And so for us, we'd license out this technology. This diabetes company would be paying us for it. And as soon as they'd go to start getting some of their patients onboarded, they'd never be able to do it. And so that made me think, well, if that's the real problem, if it doesn't matter how good our program is, if people don't use it, then we need to solve the engagement problem. And that led us to testing a whole bunch of things. We spent about 2 years testing on our own social media platforms with the thesis that if it's hard to engage people, let's go to where they're already engaged every day, which led us to Facebook, and let's communicate with them in ways that Facebook likes, which led us to bite-sized videos and things like that.
Right.
Through that experience, we were putting out a bunch of subject matter expertise content, which was great and kind of engaging. But it wasn't until I messaged my dad one day and just told him, can you please start recording yourself on your cell phone, like your daily life with diabetes, and send that to us? He started doing that, and that worked amazing. We were actually pretty mind blown about the response that we got from that. We quickly grew our audience to about 40,000 people with diabetes. They watched millions of minutes of diabetes content on our page, right. It was like 25,000 hours or something. And that started opening up our mind to what's really possible here. And At that point, we started asking ourselves, how do we transform this into something that's valuable to customers in the healthcare space? And that led us to Moment. Now, I say all of that like it happened in a span of a year, but that was a 7-year journey.
Yeah,
many tests, many failures, many learnings, and discovering where we fit in.
Yeah, so over those 7 years, like you're saying, it wasn't just a overnight type thing. You know, you have to build and discover all that different stuff. As you were transitioning from KingFit into Moment, you entered a national competition with the community health startup and Blue Cross and Blue Shield down in Wichita. Can you kind of explain what that competition was and how you were able to be one selected as one of the winners of the $250,000 grant?
Yeah, so Wichita, luckily for us, has been going through an entrepreneurial renaissance. And I think a lot of it has to do with being inspired by places like Kansas City and Denver and Austin. We recognize that for Wichita to grow, we need a lot more entrepreneurs building great businesses. And so Nextus is one of the companies here that's a nonprofit for the city. And they do a bunch of different programs. One of their programs is known as the Community Health and Vibrancy Pilot Competition. And I had been affiliated with Nextus and had great relationships with the people there for the last couple of years, just being an entrepreneur in the community. And so when they announced that competition, I was like, oh man, I got to participate. It was sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield. They're bringing in startups from all over the country to participate. And it was just an amazing setup where we got an opportunity to take a stage in front of the community, share what we were doing, and earn ourselves a pilot with some of these community organizations. For us, the one that we earned was with Hunter Health Clinic, which is a federally qualified health center here in Wichita. They've got 3 locations and they're very innovative. When you look at federally qualified health centers across the country, Hunter Health is one of the leaders in all the things that they're doing and the facilities that they're building and how fast they're growing. It's really impressive. So working with them, we were able to dive into the success we're having on the diabetes care pages and figure out how do we take that success and turn it into a product, a technology product that would be valuable to them, which is probably the hardest thing in entrepreneurship is once you have an insight or a thesis, how do you transform that into an actual product that people will use? Because it's one thing to have the insight and thesis and be doing something successful in some way, like we were doing on our diabetes care page.
Right.
It's another thing to turn that into a product, which I feel like people can do, not lots of people, but people can do. And it's a third thing to turn it into a product that people actually use, because so many products, I think it's like 9 out of 10, never even get used and end up going bust. So that was a whole process. We spent the last year pretty much working with people at Hunter Health and other healthcare organizations we've been fortunate enough to have relationships with, figuring out how to take our success on our diabetes care page and transform it into what's now the Moment platform.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that Moment platform, we had mentioned earlier in our discussion, you have 10 companies that are going through the onboarding process currently. Describe what that onboarding process looks like for a new company wanting to use the Moment platform.
Yeah. So really it starts by leveraging the content hub. So if you're an organization, you already have some content. Step one is just going to be for you to start transitioning some of that content into the hub so that it's nice and organized and it's a place, a cloud storage place where you can always go and access your content. Next, we want to be able to onboard you into the mobile app. And so the mobile app is pretty much a mobile studio. It allows you to capture video, audio, or text from your patient population in the moment. So if you're a community health worker and you're working with a family who's got a really powerful story, the last thing you want to do is try to set up a marketing firm and have videographers come out and lights and get everybody's schedule in order. It's just a whole task. Now, there's a time and a place for that, of course, when you need a new commercial for your campaign or whatever. But most of the time, it's just recognizing, hey, you're really what we've just gone through today and what we've really worked through is really inspiring and can help lots of other people. Would you mind talking about it? And if you don't like video, we can do audio. If you don't want to do that, you can just text it into the mobile app. And so that's where the mobile app comes into play for these healthcare organizations. Of course, there's an education process for the healthcare organization who's using the technology. So we've got to come in And we've got to do most of the time a workshop on the power of storytelling to get people inspired, the power of patient stories so that everybody's on the same page. And then through that, we're able to identify within the organization who's going to be the wielder of the mobile app to be capturing those stories in the moment. And that can be the biz dev person, the marketing person, the community health workers, maybe sometimes the office admin. Rarely it's the actual doctors and nurses, because as we know, they're already just overwhelmed. We don't want to add anything else to their plate. And then once we get them into the mobile app, now the content's coming in both directions. They're uploading old content and they're capturing new content from the mobile app. And then finally, once that content is in the hub, we give them the ability to repurpose that content. So through our King Fit days, we produced thousands of healthcare videos, thousands. Yeah. And so we are actually at our core content creators, and we understand all the tools that are out there, from Final Cut to Canva to whatever, the iMovie, whatever you want to use. And we know that the actual editing process to make content usable is very tedious and time consuming. So the last thing we wanted was a new healthcare company to start using Moment, and now they've got 100 new hours of content to edit, because then it would just sit in the hub and they'd never use it. And so we're fortunate enough to be using some machine learning technology, what you might know as AI. It's not AI like we think about it from the movies, but it's machine learning technology to automate that process for our customers. So if they start using the mobile app, the Moment app, they capture a 10-minute story, they can drop it into the hub and use our machine learning technology to automatically clip that into some bite-sized pieces that they can use on their social channels or in their digital marketing or whatever's valuable to them.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. For the onboarding process with that, if you, there's hundreds of different types of healthcare companies out there, as far as dentists, doctors, chiropractors, wellness coaches, that kind of stuff. What type of companies are you wanting to, are you looking for to work with you guys?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So the last, it's March now. So pretty much since January, we've been trying to answer that question. And originally I was thinking it's going to be a type of company. So it's either going to be a small hospital or a physician clinic or a specialty clinic or a chiropractor. But now I'm realizing it's any healthcare company with a specific goal. So not necessarily the specific company, but if a healthcare organization is trying to create a online presence, so either they're trying to get onto social media or improve their social media, or they're trying to boost their SEO through their Google searching, whatever their online presence goal, that's who we're finding is the best customer for us, because content is the way to do that. And content can be difficult and time consuming and expensive. So if you're a healthcare organization, that's where our expertise is, and you want to create an online presence, the Moment platform can help you do that easily and affordably.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of affordably, like myself, editing film and video and all that kind of stuff and posting it to social. If I was a, let's say I'm a chiropractor and I want to start my own franchise of this company, what does the dollar amount look like per new client to use Moment?
Yeah, so for both the Content Hub and the mobile app, which will give you unlimited content hosting and unlimited content capturing, as well as up to an hour of repurposing, you're going to start out at $199 per month, and that's for a single chiropractor. Now, that's for the full spectrum product. We do understand now that there are a lot of companies who already have so much content, they don't need to capture any new content. They just need to repurpose the old stuff. So we're working on a more affordable tier that will allow them to do that. It's looking like it'll probably be $99 a month for up to an hour, which could give you anywhere from 20 to 30 new pieces of content every month, just using the stuff you already have. So we're still figuring that out. If there's healthcare or providers or professionals out there who want to discuss and provide feedback, I'm more than open. We're in that startup phase where it's a collaborative process. Let us know what works for you. We'll figure out how it could work on our end as well. But yeah, so it's, if you're an actual clinic though, and you've got a small team, you're usually starting out at about $199 per month.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a good amount right there. And like you said, being in that startup phase, you're wanting that feedback from companies and being able to take that and use it to make it a better product for everyone involved. So over the past 7, 8, 10 years, you know, starting your companies and being able to get to where you are right now with Moment, what's something that you're most proud of being able to achieve?
I would say the thing I'm most proud of, and the thing that's the most important if you want to be an entrepreneur in healthcare, especially because healthcare is hard. It's different than opening up a t-shirt shop or any starting any business is difficult, but healthcare is especially difficult because there's multiple barriers you've got to get through, like being secure with your technology and following HIPAA, being clinically validated, proving outcomes. There's just these different levels. And then, of course, credibility. In healthcare, most of the credible people have gray hair because they've been doing it for decades. So that's the difficult piece. But the thing I'm most proud of that I think can work across any industry is just the patience and persistence. Too often, and myself included, when I was younger and just starting out, we just want things to happen so fast. When I first got into entrepreneurship, I was in this mindset of I'm going to be rich in a year. It's going to take me one nice long year of hard work and patience. I thought a year was being patient. And then it's going to blow up and it's going to be easy breezy after that. Man, I was very wrong. It's still not easy breezy. I'm 8 years, 10 years deep. But patience is key. These things, if you want to do something powerful, impactful, it takes time. That's what I'm most proud about myself, is maybe it's just because I'm hard-headed and I just won't give up. I like to call it patience.
Right. Yeah, no, that's awesome. I think that speaks a lot to, you know, being able to look at what you want to achieve and setting your mind to it and being able to stick on that path. Yeah. So a part of that, if you're looking back on it now, you know, all of your trials and errors and fixing and editing and changing stuff around as you go through it, is there anything you wish you could have gone back and done differently maybe 2, 3 years ago that would help you now?
Yeah. So 2, 3 years ago, I would just say probably just understanding better business and what actually works in the space and the proper way to build technology and create a team and things like that. I've had, luckily for me, probably the last 7 to 8 years, I've had good, powerful habits in regards to spending my time well and personal development. That's the number one factor, is working on yourself, learning new things, trying new things, and developing your skill set. There's a quote that goes, it says, be so good they can't ignore you. And if you want to do what you love, you need to be so good that people can't ignore you, because they will ignore you in those early days. No matter what you're working on, they're going to ignore you. So eventually get to a point where you're so good they can't ignore you. The only way to get there is by developing mastery and putting the time into yourself to do so. So luckily for me, I've been doing that for some years now. If I could take it back a little bit further, I would have started that process earlier. So like in high school, in my early college days, I'd have spent time really studying the things that I love. And I just didn't even know that. There's just so many mindsets that I developed later in college that if I would have had in high school, it would have made just a bigger difference. But the idea that you can, like you mentioned in our pre-talk, in healthcare, there's really, as a student in high school, you think of like a doctor or a nurse. But there's thousands of different things you could do in healthcare. So if you're passionate about any of those thousands of things, you just need to be curious. You need to explore. You need to find influencers who are doing the things that you really love and study what they've done and just learn and learn and learn and learn from them. And that'll just set you up so well. And then if you can add patience to it and not need to, like I originally started out, think that you need to make it by the time you're 25 or whatever, then that would be another skill set that is extremely valuable.
The one in 10 million that make it within the first 6 months of to being super rich, like you were talking about.
Yeah.
What are some of the industry trends you're kind of seeing within the healthcare startup industry?
Yeah. So healthcare in general, COVID really opened up our eyes to what was wrong. And there's just so many holes in the healthcare system that as entrepreneurs, we were able to see, but the healthcare system was kind of ignoring for a while. With COVID, we recognized that, digital health is an option. And that's huge for our company now. that these organizations are thinking about what they call their digital front door. Digital health has been skyrocketing in regards to fundraising. So I believe last year, 2021, had a record-breaking year. Some unreal amount of billions were invested in new digital health startups, and it's just been going up and going up, including this year. So COVID really, because of, we didn't have an option. We had to start using telemedicine and remote patient monitoring and all these new technologies that for a while we've been able to ignore in the healthcare space. Now it's here. Digital health is definitely here. So if you understand something from your own experience, like for me, my dad has diabetes, so I was able to see what it meant for somebody to have diabetes in your family. If you have somebody who's experiencing some sort of interaction with the healthcare system and you're just like, why are they doing it this way? This is extremely out of date, no matter what that is. That's where the opportunity is in being able to apply technology to that so that it fits into our modern world, which we're on a video call right now. Right. We've got cell phones. I've seen you had a wearable watch. I've got one right here. I'm not wearing it right now, but yeah. So that's where the opportunity is, bringing digital solutions that are used in other industries and bringing them to healthcare. That's where I think you would focus if you want to be a healthcare entrepreneur.
Yeah, I think that hits on a lot of heads of, you know, looking at what you have and looking at what has affected you around the area and in your personal life. So as we kind of talked a little bit, you know, we've talked about your past. Let's look at, you know, what the next 5 to 10 years look like for Moment and what you want to try to achieve through the platform.
Yeah, definitely. So if I can imagine 10 years from now, even 5 years from now, if I'm again getting to my younger mindset, which is I wanted to have it fast, but let's say 5 to 10 years from now, my goal would be that if a healthcare marketer is out talking to a friend who's also a healthcare marketer, and she says you're not using the Moment platform, the one who is going to look at the other one like you're crazy. What are you doing? Your life could be way easier. Your production could be way higher. You could be getting way better results. That's what I want to happen. And I don't know yet exactly what the features and product roadmap looks like to get there. We've got an idea of what we need to build now to make it very valuable here in the short term. But as I look at these healthcare marketers, they are just packed with so much work to do. They are managing the branding for a healthcare organization, which is extremely important. Physician reviews and reviews on surgeries and things like that. That's extremely important because people read that first. And actually, I believe it was, I can't remember the exact percent, but most negative reviews online are for healthcare organizations. So even if you get a terrible oil job down the street at whatever oil company, you're not very likely to leave them a bad review. But if you have a bad experience at your local clinic, you are for sure going on Google and saying how much you hate the place. And so brand reputation is something they do. They also have to raise money, especially if they're nonprofits. So they have foundations where donors are giving funds and they've got to manage all of that. They've got to write and win grants, which is a whole process on its own. They've got to run the marketing for the organization in regards to new services, new locations, new doctors, all of that type of stuff. And they've got to do the social media. So when I speak to a healthcare marketer, usually it's a one-person team. If they're lucky, they've got a few people on the team and they are just stressed. They have so much they want to do but can't. And so in my mind, I see the Moment platform being that tool that they've just got in their back pocket, and it makes their life way easier. And when they see one of their friends who's not using it, they're like, wow, you are missing.
Yeah, that's a great vision for the Moment. Speaking of, you know, being able to talk with people and going back and forth and saying you're not using it, where is Moment available at? Can we use it in all the states, different countries? How does that kind of play out as far as growth and development for your program?
Yeah, so right now we are mostly US-based, although I can't see a reason why somebody in Canada or the UK or anywhere wouldn't be able to use it if they speak English. But we are nationwide. So whether you are in Florida, Texas, New York, wherever, you can use the Moment platform, and we're a simple email away. You can go to our website, joinmoment.com, M-M-N-T, joinmoment.com, or just email me, miguel@joinmoment.com, and we could set up a demo and we can walk you through it and understand what your goals are. So our customers all have different goals, which is fun and interesting and unique to see the different use cases. Some of them just want an online presence to get social media going. Some of them want a full out social media campaign where they've got a plan for it already and they just need the patient stories to supplement it. Some of them want to use the patient stories internally and actually engage some of their other patient population. So when we're able to get into that demo and that consultation, that's where we really understand how this is going to be valuable to you. And if it's not going to be valuable, then no hard feelings. We will try to help you find the solution that's the best fit.
Yeah, absolutely. So part of the next topics of discussion that I want to talk about is advice for students. So if we're looking at advice for high school students that, you know, may have that situation at home that they think healthcare related and they think they might have a solution for it, what's some advice you might have for them as far as getting started as a high school student, or things that they could be looking at or people to be talking to as far as getting started in their healthcare profession?
Yeah, definitely. So the first thing I would say to a high school student, and something that I just didn't comprehend back when I was in high school, is you have time. You have so much time to learn about yourself, to learn about what you really care about. I would say focus on using your 20s to learn and build skills and test many different things. Yeah. Shadow people, do internships, go sit in on a lecture if possible. Talk to a professor at a college you're interested in, but never feel like you've got to choose that major or dive all the way in or any of that stuff just right out of the gate. You've got time to explore. So please explore and switch your mindset. I know social media makes it easy to be like, oh, the Paul brothers made it when they were 15. And now they make hundreds of millions, but it doesn't work like that. Most people are figuring themselves out and taking their time. And there's lots and lots of really, really successful people who didn't even start their businesses until they were in their 40s. Most successful business owners start their business when they're like 45, which to a high schooler can seem old as heck. But you have so much time. I just turned 30 and I'm like, wow, I'm young as heck. And it's just a crazy thing when your eyes go out, you think about that. So I would say switch that mindset. Understand you have so much time. There's no pressure. Ignore that social media madness. It's not real. Dive into as many different things as you can think of. Find people in your community. There's always hidden gems within your community of people who you would never even realize. As soon as you ask somebody, do you know anybody who's owns a chiropractor business? I'm interested in that because my grandma, she had a surgery and she had this chiropractor who really helped her improve her life. And now she can live on her own. But I don't know any chiropractors. Those simple questions and conversations can lead you on a path that you would have never imagined. And that's how I really started out. I just asked my friends, my family, my professors, who they knew, who I could talk to. One conversation led to another. Put yourself out there and ask those questions. People want to help you. The thing is, most people never ask for that help. So I think that was a lot of suggestions, but if I can summarize it down, I'd say switch the mindset. You got time. You don't need to make it by the time you're 21. Trust me. And then find people in your community and things that you're passionate about and just ask questions. People will help you and guide you, and then start observing, be curious, test as many avenues as possible, and you'll find your way.
Yeah, that kind of rolls right into the college undergraduate and as well as the person getting ready to graduate. You know, when you're getting ready to graduate, you have that degree, you think you know everything you know, but you don't know what you don't know. What advice would you have for people that, you know, they have 3 months, you know, 6 to 3 months before they graduate college, when they're getting ready to look out into the real world, I guess, about, you know, starting their profession? What advice do you have for people that are, you know, maybe starting some interview processing, resume building, that kind of stuff?
The first thing I would say is find a really high quality mentor, because that mentor is going to understand what you're going through. And especially if it's in an area where you're really passionate about, but may not see an avenue to get there just yet, find that mentor. They're going to help you guide you through that whole thing. And of course, I know universities set you up with mentors that are part of the universities and things like that. But if you can find one where if you are going to think of your wildest dreams, okay, I'm about to graduate in 3 months. I'm going to take the dental hygienist job. But really, I'd like to own a franchise of a new style of dentistry that the world has never seen before and things like that. The really big, scary goals. Find somebody who's at least kind of in that realm and just right. talk to them and learn from them and take advice from them and just listen. I know as a college graduate, like you said, we think we know things and we know how it's going to go down. And here's my life path and I've got to figure it out, but you don't. so find somebody who's much older, who can guide you and understand your thought process and help you get on that path. And then the other thing I would say is if you really want to pave your own way and do something special, you've got to get a solid discipline schedule down that you can just repeat and repeat and repeat. The most successful people in the world today are probably the most boring people you would meet. They don't spend a lot of free time doing all these auxiliary fun things that you can do. They're working on their skill sets. They're studying other people in the space. They're blocking out hours for work rather than for Netflix and other things. So those would be the two things that I would tell to my younger self as I'm getting ready to graduate college.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So that kind of rolls into the person that's been working for 6 months question. You know, you're in your job, you've been doing the things, you've been there for 6 months, things are going well. What's some advice you might think that you would have for that person as far as, you know, you're learned the processes, you've learned the execution, but you're wanting to, and maybe that's 6 months to a year into their career, but now you're starting to see those little steps of, oh, if I added this, I could gain in this direction.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I would say that if you're 6 months or a year into your career and you're figuring your way out and you're either really enjoying it or you're kind of enjoying it or whatever that is, just realize the pace that the world is changing. So always be looking for those little opportunities, those little areas where you have a specific curiosity or skill set that you notice is different. And do not doubt yourself. You do bring something special to the table. Everybody does. Yeah. When you start to recognize that, it's really easy to be like, nobody would care about that, or that's not a good idea, or blah, blah, blah. Dive into that. Get curious. Just be as curious as possible. Even if you're a year into it and everybody at the job you're at is like, this is the way it's always been, this is the way it's always going to go, question that stuff. Just question, question, question. Ask yourself questions. Look up questions, because the world is changing so fast. So fast. And so there's lots of opportunities on the horizon, whether you want to be an entrepreneur or not. You may be that greatest employee that an entrepreneur like me could have because you're bringing the great ideas to the table. So just be curious as you get established, as you get your flow going, knowing that things are changing all around us all the time, and look for those things and see where you see things that other people don't. And that's where your special value is going to come.
Absolutely. I think that really hits it on the head. And it's a lot of really good advice for that, you know, 15 to 25 year old something age group in a whole. Thank you so much for spending an hour with us. I have one last question, and yeah, I think this is going to be a good one. Do you have a mantra or quote that you like to live your life by?
Oh, man, that's I remember reading this in the questions. I was like, man, I got to go. I live by quite a few. Yeah. The one that I would say that is like the biggest for me, it's between two. There's two things that I just love going back to always. One is the growth mindset. So the idea of the growth mindset is that anybody can learn anything if they're willing to put the time and understand that they're a fresh slate for new knowledge. And the fixed mindset is this idea that you have certain talents and abilities and you're limited to those talents and abilities and you can't do anything beyond that. The growth mindset has been absolutely key to me. I spent my whole life being an athlete, so people just naturally thought I would do something around athletics. Right. I eventually turned myself into a health tech entrepreneur through the growth mindset, knowing that if I spent the time learning and studying and being curious and finding mentors, I'd be able to figure it out eventually if I was patient enough. The other thing I like to bring up that kind of goes right with it is what I call the toothpick story. It's a well-known story, and it's pretty much a story of these kids who had a competition amongst themselves, And they would all start out with a toothpick and go door to door and try to trade the toothpick for something bigger. And the kid who came home with the biggest prize at the end of the night won the competition. And what happened was these kids with these toothpicks would come back with television sets or new sets of golf clubs and things like that, which blow your mind because you're like, no way somebody could trade a toothpick for a television, which they can't. But what they would do, the successful ones would trade the toothpick for a piece of gum or a business card or a notebook paper or a pencil, and slowly but surely work their way up to the large prize. And that's something I always, always keep close to my heart. One is I've got a growth mindset, so I know I can learn and develop the skills. Two is I'm starting with a toothpick. Eventually, I'm going to have the big screen TV, but I can't be impatient and think I can trade my toothpick for a big screen TV. I've got to trade my toothpick for a stick of gum and so on and so forth. And eventually I'll get there.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love that story. I've heard a version of it. And, you know, that's just a great example of, you know, being patient and really working through the process of starting at step A to get to step Z.
Yeah.
Well, there's our bell actually right there. So I'm going to go teach some health. Thank you so much for spending 45 minutes to an hour with us talking about what you do with Moment. Do you have any last pitches for Moment that you'd like to talk about or discuss real quick?
Healthcare professionals out there, if you've got a content problem or trying to create a bigger online presence, or you've just got a whole bunch of content that you need turned into bite-sized pieces so you can get the double bang for your buck, contact us. We can definitely help you with our new platform.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Miguel, for spending this time with us. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
If you've made it this far into the episode, I want to thank you again for watching. Please subscribe, share, and comment below with any questions or comments you may have. If you're interested in more information about other professions within healthcare careers, please visit healthsciencecoach.com and talk to your school counselor or academic advisor. As always, stay happy, healthy, and live life with passion.